everyone. Hang on.
Four Midwest Guys presents Star Wars Rebels Recon.
My name is Rex, Captain, 501st Clone Battalion.
I'm not afraid.
That's what worries me.
Lord Vader.
Yes, Master.
The rebels of the Lothal system. Hunt them down.
As you wish. Your master has deceived you into believing you can become a Jedi.
Things are getting worse just as they did back when I was your age. Back then, there were 10,000 Jedi Knights protecting the galaxy. Now,
there's just you and me.
All right, if I tag along?
The more the merrier.
Mission accomplished.
Hello and welcome back to Four Midwest Guys Presents Rebels Recon. We were gone last week. We kind of took a little bit of a week off there. Had some crazy stuff going on, but we're back for a double dose of Rebels Recon this week. So we'll be reviewing both Brothers of the Broken Horn as well as I believe it's the Winged Master or something along those lines. Wings of the Master, thank you. So we'll be reviewing both of those episodes this week. Mr. Eckenbauer couldn't be with us. He has at his daughter's basketball game, so we wish him well. He's with us as a Force Ghost today. But with me, as always, is my brother, Aaron. Aaron, say hey.
Hello.
Hello, hello. Doing all right?
I'm doing fine. I got to be honest, though, every time I hear that opening, I always forget how long it is.
Well, that's me, man. I can't cut it down, man. I love the music and
you just like too many bits of it.
Yeah, well, yeah, we did a we just recorded our review of the original Star Wars trilogy, which will be airing in December, and. Yeah, I had the same problem. I when I started off with that one, it was 5 minutes long, and it was like heart wrenching to get it down to just a minute and 30. So,
yeah, every little clip you had to take out was just removing a piece of your soul.
I'm telling you, man, it's not just the sound clips; it's the music. You know, it's just like, that'd be great, and I want to do this, and I want to do that, and you know, but
there'll just be. A you know musical that you'll compose in your head.
Yeah, eventually. You know, my dream is to. I am a musician trapped in the body with no musical talent. So,
just gotta pick up an instrument and practice. I guess.
I don't know.
Just get some of those, you know, software programs, kind of start composing.
Maybe that might be a way to start because I need a lot of help. I'm a white boy. White boy has no rhythm. Anyway, so we're gonna cover two episodes, like I said tonight, guys. So let's get right on into it. The first one is Brothers of the Broken Horn, and we are reunited with an old Clone Wars character, one of my favorites, Hondo, the space pirate. Aaron, I really like Hondo. What was some of the things you liked about this episode?
I actually really do like that they introduced Hondo again. Like, I feel like the episode season in particular is doing really well at kind of showing older Clone Wars characters and kind of reintroducing them without making them feel forced. So there's like scenes where you'll see just Hondo and Ezra negotiating with each other, kind of going back and forth, and just kind of the dialogue with Hondo in general is just really just fun to watch. So you'll see like Hondo and Ezra negotiating for the generators or the warmers or something like that.
Yeah. It's really good back and forth because they are very similar. And what, you know, I like when they first met, you know, Ezra says he asks who he is, and he's like, Well, I'm Lando Calrissian. He's like, oh, the famous Lando. Yeah. In typical Hondo fashion. He knows he's lying, but he's playing along, you know?
Yeah. Later on, you know, when that's actually exposed, he's like, oh, you lied to me? I knew there was a reason I liked you.
You? Where at the very end, he's like, such accusations, you wound me.
Yeah.
I really like the Hondo character. He's just, he's a good guy when the, I guess when the price is right for him.
Yeah.
But I guess deep down underneath it all, he still really is a good guy. I don't know.
Yes. Well, Hondo is kind of an interesting rogue, and it's like a nice contrast to, you know, the kind of more solemn, like, Jedi and Sith that are much more serious characters in their own way. Not that he's not interested in, you know, making money and so forth, but, you know, deals go bad and he kind of rolls with the punches.
Exactly. And, you know, it's speaking of the Jedi, I think now that we're seeing Hondo, because he does even mention, I had a Jedi as a friend once. At least I think he was. So
yeah.
I'm beginning, that's a little, I don't know if that's a tidbit, because I've heard rumors that we might see Obi-Wan Kenobi this season. So, and it would be kind of interesting to...
That was a reference to Anakin.
It could have been.
Quite a few episodes where, like, Hondo and Anakin, like, interacted back in the Clone Wars.
That's true, too. That could be. But I wouldn't mind... I would like to see... It would be fun to see Obi-Wan and Hondo reunited, because they're such stark contrast in characters. But we'll see. I don't know. But, yeah, it's always good to see Hondo. It's great to see that character. He's just... And, again, I agree with you, Aaron. It was nice to see them bring him in to an episode where he fits. Like,
By the time you get to the end of the episode, like, you kind of see why they brought it in, especially with Ezra feeling almost overworked and overburdened and kind of having that option of being able to opt out and then kind of being able to view Hondo as, like, a contrast to, you know, what he could have been or what he, you know, was closer to, like, prior to the show.
Yeah, even maybe what he was, even, possibly even. Yeah, I agree. It was nice. It was kind of it was a great episode. It was good to see. It had that kind of circle is now complete kind of feel to the end of it, you know. So
yeah, it really, like, as a story arc for Ezra, like, it actually really kind of shows, like, a growing moment in some ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like he realizes... Yeah, he could have been that person at one time, but now he's part of something bigger, something greater. And you know, it shows his love for the team and for the Rebels and his cause, really. So, yeah. I mean, you know, and that kind of fits into another thing I really liked about the episode, the ending scene, you know, where even Ezra says, you know, tells Hondo, you know, there was a time where I could have been, you know, I probably would have joined your crew. And, you know, it was kind of nice to hear Hondo go, he goes, Ezra, you're a true Jedi. You know, and even Hondo's basically saying, no, you're too good to be, to be with me. You know what I mean? Does that make, Aaron, you know, make sense to you? I mean,
well, yeah. I mean, it probably didn't hurt that he also let the one guy who actually owned the ship go. That probably didn't hurt his chances of making on board the crew.
Yeah, making a true pirate. Mm. So, they did kind of burn something there. I will admit, I'm not going to call it a criticism, just kind of they used, with Visago, he paid back Visago. Already,
yeah.
I was kind of thought. I always, when that happened in season one, I was like, "Oh, they're gonna that'll be something where they really get Ezra really finds himself in a jam or something." But
you were expecting like a bigger payoff for that in the long run.
Yeah, because you know suddenly he's a Jedi and now he owes this you know two bit smuggler you know
okay
guy something. So I thought it was going to be like a conflicting moment or something.
Yeah.
But it was okay. I guess it was okay to burn it, but. Not really a criticism, just more of a,
You were kind of expecting that to be, like, a bigger, like, story arc for Ezra.
Yeah, and I mean, they still could use it, I guess. They could still have Visago say, you know, we're still not even or something, but...
Yeah.
I don't know. But, yeah, it was good to see. It was a nice change of pace. They broke away from the main storyline, took a break from that.
Yeah.
So, it was pretty good. I don't know. What was one of your other favorite scenes, Aaron?
There's the scene where they're negotiating, or not negotiating, but like contracting a deal with Asmorgan, I guess his name is.
Yes, yes, the pig-like smuggler, yeah.
Yeah, and it kind of goes sour, and, you know, they show that, you know, Ezra isn't Lando, and Asmorgan's about to turn Hondo in because he's just going to take his stuff and then pretty much collect the bounty on Hondo. And at some point in the fight scene that interrupts, you see Chopper just kind of pick up a gun and start just running towards Asmorgan. And part of me is just watching that as like, if he can use guns or blasters efficiently and quickly, how is that not a tactic that's used far more often? Like, you can just give, you know, Chopper a gun, have a, or a blaster, and have him circle around perimeters and, you know, just blasting in enemies or something. And I don't think they've ever shown him doing anything like that before. It's kind of an interesting little change.
Yeah, it was interesting. And was he accurate, or was it more of a distraction? Because I have to go back and rewatch it now. You've piqued my interest.
He doesn't, like, fire necessarily that accurately, but well enough to where you could put pressure on an enemy force. I mean, especially if you're dealing with numbers.
Yeah, I guess it is kind of the equivalent of, you know, where we've seen in, I guess, the movies and even Clone Wars, where R2 kind of freaks out. He, you know, lets all of his gadgets out of his body and, you know, kind of creates a distraction enough for Anakin or whoever's with him to...
They've also shown Chopper, like, shocking opponents and things like that earlier in the scene as well. And so clearly it was something like that, but it's just weird. I've never seen, like, any of those kind of smaller droids actually wield a gun like that. Or a blaster or whatever, and...
Yeah,
I guess it's technically in their capabilities. It's just weird knowing that it's rarely used.
Yeah, you don't put an astromech droid with blasters, and it was interesting to see. And he was kind of like it had kind of like an Old West kind of feel. He's just, you know, guns blazing.
He's not even really using like his back legs. Like, it's just that front wheel sort of thing.
Yeah, he's like leaning forward and just firing randomly. Yeah. Yeah, it was definitely kind of a cool scene, and I wasn't really expecting it either. I was like, oh, okay, well, that's kind of cool. And
yeah, it was kind of just out of left field in some ways, and kind of worked.
Yeah, it's a good contrast, too, I think, for Chopper versus R2, because he does do a lot of things that R2 does. He just does it a little bit more curmudgeonly than R2 does. I mean, I've heard it say that if R2-D2 is the dog, then Chopper is the cat. Because, you know, he's going to do things, but he's going to, you know, he may not do it the way you tell him to do it, like you would with a dog. So, but yeah, it was a good scene. Definitely a good scene. And I think, did we talk about the negotiations? I think we did, didn't we?
Yeah.
A little bit. Yeah, so. So, yeah, overall, this was a pretty good episode. Again, nice to see Hondo, and it was really good to see, you know, Ezra contrast with him and the dialogue with him. And I would love, hopefully, he'll be back again. You know, I think he's a great character. It would be fun to see, I think it would be fun to see him and Kanan contrast a little bit.
Yeah.
Because Kanan's not exactly a full-fledged Jedi. He's kind of the cowboy Jedi, so it would be interesting.
Yeah, he does seem to be much more loose than a lot of the other Jedi characters they've had in the Star Wars universe. So it'd be interesting to see how, you know, how well they would get along.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, pretty good. So, all right. So that's, that was the first episode. So we're going to move on to the next one, Wings of the Master. This was a good episode for me from a childhood perspective, because I had this toy. It was basically the backstory of where the B-Wing comes from. The B-Wing first made its appearance in Return of the Jedi. It's kind of the trifold starship with the rotating cockpit on it. It was from a nostalgic point of view, I really liked this. I don't know, Aaron, what did you think?
I actually really like this episode as well. Though it's funny because I never really had like a lot of the Star Wars toys. And the B-Wing has such a brief appearance, like in, I think, Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
That I actually forgot this was actually in the movies.
Mm.
Like, I had to actually look it up real quick and actually be reminded of it.
Yeah, well, and the other thing, in the movie, you don't see, like, in this episode, you see the three or four cannons meet kind of like the Death Star and create, like, a super...
Yeah, I thought that was really interesting because I've never noticed that, like, in Clone Wars or, like, any of the previous films where it almost does seem like it's almost like a precursor to, like, the Death Star's, like, main attack.
Yeah, I mean, the main cannon on the Death Star, and it converges to make a super... super weapon, and yeah, that was the first time I'd ever seen that, so that was kind of cool. It kind of made me appreciate the B-Wing a lot more, because it was a great toy growing up, and you could play with, but I never made that connection with it.
Pretty much, it's like a mini Death Star in its own way that can, you know, is much more maneuverable. It makes it a lot cooler, and I think.
Well, yeah, because it's fast, it's maneuverable, and it packs a punch, right? So it's, it's hitting on all cylinders, so.
Yeah, it seemed like there is a limit to how many times it can blast, or, I mean, it does mention that, you know, but just by testing out that feature, it pretty much drained the power for the hyperdrive, so it does have its tradebacks in that regard.
Yeah, it does, but still, it was still pretty cool, and,
yeah,
you know, one of the things that I really liked about this episode as well was the opening scene versus the Empire, because you see that they're struggling. That this Phoenix Squadron, which is basically, I guess, your first organized resistance against the Empire, is still really no match firepower-wise, you know, for the Empire.
Like, you pretty much have, what is it, Karius, who's leading the Empire at this point. And
Kallus.
And he's generally regarded as kind of more of just a character that isn't really that useful, but even with, you know, the military might backing him, does seem to, you know, actually run the blockade pretty efficiently.
Yeah, he has it's kind of a clever plan on his part. It's, you know, they're basically starving a sympathetic planet to the rebel cause, you know, basically cutting their food off. And while making them do labor for them, and you know, they've created this blockade around the planet to trap the rebels and destroy the fleet. And you see, you know, right in this opening scene, I was surprised to see it, but you see the rebel runner just get destroyed.
Okay.
And all, you know, so far, you know, Phoenix Squadron in Episode 1, they lose their command ship, and now they've lost another rebel runner ship, and they're getting pretty much decimated.
Yeah.
By the Empire.
They've lost quite a bit, like, within the season. Does it actually go into, like, what type of forced labor they're actually having the individuals, like, do on that planet? I don't remember if it mentions it or not.
I don't think so, no. They don't really say. They just say that their food rations have been cut back and then eventually cut off.
And it mentions something about their work kind of going up, so it might be, like, a factory or something, or a mine, or what have you.
Hard to say. It would have been nice to get a little bit of a tidbit, but oh well, they didn't throw us a bone there on that one. What was one of your favorite scenes there, Aaron?
I actually really loved just like the test run for the B-Wing.
That was
like
really
just
good.
Like you see it just kind of drop down and just fly up with the little smaller wings kind of opened up.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see it kind of just flying around, and then you get that first look at, like, the multi-cannon, like, actually kind of, you know, firing is like, wow, that's kind of a cool moment.
Yeah, I mean, even here, kicks in the afterburners, I guess, is however you want to call it, and she's like, yep, definitely not a freighter. She kind of gets pushed back into her seat. And it was really cool to see the B-Wing in action and kind of actually, because, like you say, you don't see much of it in Jedi. It's there, but...
Ooh, Like I said, like, it's almost a ship I forgot existed, more or less. Like, I saw it, I recognized it to a certain extent, but couldn't really remember from where, like, the Star Wars universe.
Yeah, it's very rarely used. It was just kind of like a ship they threw in there, you know? It was like the art department probably designed it, and they threw it in for Jedi just as a background ship. So,
yeah.
You know, but it's nice to see you get to see, you know, a Calamari make it, you know, this little, I forget his name now, the little dude, but yeah.
It's kind of cool. Like it's almost like adding to the mythology of the universe, like kind of creating the bigger world picture where you have more than just, you know, three or four different styles of ships.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's definitely establishing the Calamari as well as being the, I guess, the Rebel shipbuilders too, like, because it kind of establishes them as the ones that are supplying the Rebels with a lot of their ships. And,
yeah. Yeah. Well, so at the end of the episode, they pretty much have put him in charge of, like, actually designing, like, an entire fleet of, like, B-Wings for, like, the Phoenix Force.
Yeah, yeah, so it's that's kind of cool to see, too. And I kind of liked his character, too, because he seems like a, I don't know, like an absent-minded professor, almost.
Yeah. I don't know. He was kind of funny in a lot of ways.
Yeah, because he was hesitant at first to even let Hera touch his baby, so to speak, but once he found out she's worthy, then he lets her test fly it, but even then, he forgets a lot of the details.
Yeah.
Like, he does that, things.
It's know. Like when she actually first starts flying the ship, you realize, oh, he's never actually flown it before.
Yeah, oops.
Like, it works in theory.
Yeah, theoretically it should fly. Oh, I don't fly them.
That's far too dangerous. It's better to be down here wishing you're up there than to be up there crashing down here.
Crashing back down here, yeah. So, yeah, he was it's a kind of a cool thing. Even in Zeb, he obviously irritates the heck out of Zeb, because Zeb actually kind of like body slams him at one point.
Yeah, just lifts him up.
Yeah, but yeah. So it was a nice thing to see. We finally get a little bit of background information with this episode too. Hera, at least you get a brief scene, and you know, Hera kind of tells at this point, you know, he's not giving up the B-wing to even let her test fly it, and they're fixing the Phantom that gets injured, you know, or not injured. Gets damaged on their way into this planet, and he's helping her fix it, and she kind of gets her background story. We kind of find out a little bit more about Hera, about her hiding on her home planet. I believe it's, well, if Star Wars fans are kicking my butt for this one. I think it's Ryloth, and we find out that she actually, you know, kind of hid during the Clone Wars, and that she would peek up and see the Republic ships coming to liberate her planet from the droids and I guess Count Dooku. So that was really kind of cool. We finally get to hear and see that, you know, there is a little bit of background story to her, and that, you know, as some Clone Wars fans will know, that her father is actually Tam, who we do see in the Clone Wars. What did you think about her background story, Aaron?
I actually thought it was really nice that they actually kind of touched on it a bit, because Hera's been kind of one of the main characters since, you know, Rebels started up, but you don't really know that much about her. Like, even her connection to Phoenix Force is kind of hidden up until more or less, you know, the end of last season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, her...
It's really nice to kind of add some backstory and some layers and kind of go into why she, you know, she wants to act the way she does.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, she says, yeah, I am a combat pilot, but I love to fly first, and I'm doing it for a good cause, you know, and that's what, you know.
You can definitely see why, if you grew up on a planet like that, you know, where you were in a war zone, why you might be a bit more sympathetic to, you know, say, a starving planet.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, so it definitely opens her up for a little bit of depth. And I agree that she's shown leadership skills up to this point. She's shown that she's been kind of the mother of the ghost in season one. And it's nice to see her kind of fan out. And at the end, she becomes Phoenix leader. So now she's going to lead.
Which is kind of funny, because even at the beginning of the episode, you see like the other members of like the Phoenix Force referring to her as captain.
As captain, yeah. And then, yeah. But they did have a leader, and he was flying one of those A-wings, and he bites the dust. So
yeah.
There is a vacancy to fill, I guess.
Yeah. So it kind of worked out in its own way.
In its own way, yeah. You know, but it was really great to see a little bit more of a background story. I know a lot of fans are itching to find out what happens to her dad, Tam, who was the resistance leader on Ryloth. And so it gives you just a little bit more, because a lot of people think there's an episode of Clone Wars where there's this little girl, this little Twi'lek that follows Obi-Wan Kenobi and Anakin Skywalker around.
Yeah.
And a lot of people think that's her, but there hasn't been any confirmation.
Kind of playback if they actually show it, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would, especially if they spoiler alert, or potential spoiler alert, if the rumors are true and Obi-Wan is indeed makes an appearance in season two. So it would be a nice little tie-in and stuff like that. So, but yeah, a lot of really good stuff here, a lot of good background. So, overall, I thought this episode was another really good episode. Got us a little bit of background information again, and I don't know, what do you think, Aaron? Overall,
I actually thought this was a really good episode. Like, I may have liked the previous one slightly better, but this one was very action packed. You finally get some, you know, backstory on Hera, who's been a very prominent character, very interesting. That, and you see, you know, kind of adding to, like, the Star Wars mythology with, you know, kind of introducing the B-Wing and kind of setting up, you know, the Rebels' use of that ship.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, there is one other point that just now came to mind. I wonder where the Inquisitors were. I wonder if Callus maybe is keeping them away on purpose? Maybe trying to... Because there kind of seems to be a rivalry between him and the fifth brother, at least.
There probably is, to a certain extent, between, like, the Inquisitors and just the regular soldiers, because they're both going to be working for the Empire, but in different leagues, and there's probably very little to communication. And you probably are going to be a little annoyed if, you know, every time an Inquisitor comes by, you're more or less outranked.
Yeah, yeah,
which is
true.
Kind of his case for him.
Yeah, because... You know, even when I was watching it, I was like, oh, I bet the Inquisitors show up on their second run or something because against the blockade, because he'll have to report it, and Vader will send them.
Yeah.
But they don't show up.
That, or it could be maybe the Inquisitors are still kind of regrouping from one of the previous episodes, or they're, you know, out doing whatever.
Doing another. Yeah, that's true. So, but yeah, it was just an interesting little tidbit and thought there. Yeah. All right. Well, I think we've covered both episodes pretty well. There's only time for one more thing, and that is final thoughts. Give you the honor of the first final thought.
For both episodes, I think they were both actually really great episodes, both A's in terms of grade. Mm-hmm. We see characters kind of being reintroduced to the Star Wars universe. The series has been doing really well about reintroducing them in a way that's not forcing them into the storyline, where it makes it really just kind of fluid with how the story is progressing. That, and you're adding to the mythology and to, like, kind of the background of it. And I think both episodes are probably an A for me.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, my final thought, Brothers of the Broken Horn, I give an A. If you were a Clone Wars fan, you absolutely love this, because if you watched Clone Wars and were a Clone Wars fan, I don't see how you do not like Hondo Ohnaka. Probably one of the better characters in the Clone Wars series, period. So... loved having him back. Loved seeing the interaction between him and Ezra. You know, it was nice to see Ezra kind of act like the teenager that he is, and kind of rebel a little bit, and kind of strike out on his own. And he runs into runs into Hondo and kind of sees himself, and like we kind of alluded to earlier, it was kind of his grown up moment. He sees what he could have been and decides he likes where he's at a lot better. So a very well-rounded episode, I thought, and a more complete episode, even if it was away from the main storyline. Still a very well thought out episode, in my opinion. As far as the Wings of the Master, I give that one kind of a B+ to an A. It's great. It was awesome to see the B-Wing. It was great to get the backstory there. It was great to see, finally get a little bit of background information to Hera and kind of flush out her character maybe just a little bit more, although I want to see more. My only criticism for these shows is it's too daggone short. I would love to have a whole hour to flush these stories out a little bit more, so you have a little bit more time with the characters. It always, I guess it's a good thing because it always leaves me wanting more. But I
never feel like it's just like, oh, just let it end already.
Yeah, I never feel that way. And it's, if anything, I feel like a lot of the storylines and stuff are rushed because, yeah, because they only have 20, there's only 21 minutes once you get rid of the commercials.
Yeah. Is there still rumors about them doing like a live action Star Wars show still?
Yeah, yeah. The last I heard, Netflix was in talks. I don't know how that was the last I heard as far as doing a live action show, but
I mean, there's always the possibility that once you start having like multiple Star Wars show up on the air, that might help that feeling a little bit.
It might. It's just, man. I really like Dave Filoni, and I like, you know, the writers and how he does the shows. They really are mini Star Wars movies in a lot of ways. And I don't know, I just feel like if he had a little bit more time or canvas to work with to paint, he could paint an even better picture. Yeah. You know, he could even develop his characters more. Now, supposedly we're getting more episodes this season, and I do believe that they're not taking a break, I don't think, until episode 7 comes out. This, you know, usually, you know, in December they go on hiatus, but I guess as a kind of like a build up to us, kind of a thank you moment, they're not taking their fall break until almost, I think, till episode 7 comes out. So, so it'll be nice to have that, you know.
Well, then you'll also have like the film coming out like in December as well. So,
right, exactly. So it's they're you know, keeping our appetite wet for Star Wars 7 there, and it's not that we need Rebels for that, but nevertheless, it's just nice to know that we're getting more episodes than we did last season, and so that guess that's a good.
It makes it easier, you know. You have something to look forward to. It kind of breaks up, you know, just waiting for the new film.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and I really like how Filoni, how he fleshes out his stories, how he tells his stories, and I keep telling people, yeah, it's a cartoon for the adult fans, but out there, and yeah, it is kind of, you know, it's toned down for kids, but
not by much
though. And it's worth checking out. If you're a Star Wars fan and you're not watching Rebels, then you're missing out. I don't know. What do you think, Aaron? You think people are missing out if they're not watching?
Possibly, but I feel that way about a lot of modern cartoons. I feel like they're meant for a far wider audience than, you know, what used to be considered.
Yeah. I just think some of us older fans can't get past the fact that it is a cartoon, and you know, because we're under that.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you had, what was it, the Star Wars Christmas special that was live action, and
no,
comparatively,
did not happen, never happened. La la la.
So there was that thing that didn't exist, but comparatively to that thing that didn't exist, Rebels and Clone Wars is amazing, and even on its own is so.
Absolutely. You know, I went back and watched an episode. Ankabauer was over, and I showed him an episode of Season 6. We watched, like, the Yoda arc of Season 6. And
yeah.
I mean, it's just amazing storytelling. And I mean,
once you got towards, like, mid-season of Clone Wars, and actually even from the beginning it's pretty good, but once you start really delving into, like, the mythology and the backstory for the universe, it gets really fascinating.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, and it actually does make you appreciate the prequels a little bit more because you get that backstory. You get to see Anakin and you get to see Obi-Wan and you really get to see what's lost there because yeah, there's more time. Yeah.
Like, you can make an argument that in some ways the Clone Wars are actually better than some of the prequels.
Yes. Yes. By far. As far as I'm concerned, it's like I call the Clone Wars George Lucas's redemption in many ways. Because by the time you get into season four and on, the storytelling is just awesome, in my opinion. Yeah. And whether that's Filoni, you know, Filoni has something to do with that or not, Filoni calls himself kind of, you know, George's apprentice. Like, George trained him, and even George said he trained him to tell Star Wars after he retired. Yeah.
So you can make an argument that Clone Wars does have that issue where it kind of jumps to just random
episodes
that you may not wish existed. But
George does like to do that. He's like, we're gonna go back in time and we'll just tell a story here. And
I think it's like season 5 or 6 where you have like just a random droid episode, and you're just, I don't feel like that was necessary.
Like, no, I know what you're talking about.
There might be people that love that episode, and it's just, it's so out of place, not only within the season, but with just in the series, that it's, there are a couple episodes like that.
You're talking about the one with all the droids and the Gascon character, the little frog-looking guy, right? Is that what you're talking about?
I'm thinking of one that has like R2-D2 and C-3PO just on a random planet where they end up going inside it.
I
forget what it was.
There are those, I don't know. I call that George playing in a sandbox. You know, it's like you're a kid and you're like, I'm gonna go over here now and we're gonna pretend this happened.
Yeah. Like, overall, I could see those episodes being really nice for backstory, but you just kind of throw them in like mid-season, like, and just, it's just this complete left wing kind of even slows down like the progress of the season in a way.
Yeah.
Like the Clone Wars did have a couple episodes like that, but, and actually I think Rebels does a little better in that regard.
Oh, by far. Not only that, but you're following the same group of characters episode to episode, where Clone Wars, you could have a episode just about droids or an episode just about clone troopers, and which wasn't bad because it helped develop the characters like Captain Rex and things like
that. Actually, I liked some of the clone troopers ones. Like, I thought it fit with like the story of them. Like, they were like prominent characters throughout the entire thing, and it was kind of interesting to kind of show them a bit more heavily. But you know, in my mind, at least a lot of those episodes kind of continued like the story arc.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, George was really big on, especially in Clone Wars, of story arcs. Like, you know, you would get, whether it would be 2, 3, or 4, that seemed to be his thing. Like, mostly 4. You get 4 episodes in a row, and that was the story arc. That was the block, you know, which made up the entire, which is, you know, when you think about it, with Clone Wars was the same as Rebels, so it would have been, you know, 21 minutes, so it's basically an hour, you know. So, and they kind of stick to that a little bit in Rebels, not quite as much, you know. So, like, we got, like, previous episodes, we had the two, you know, introducing the three clone troopers, you know, Rex and Wolf and, the commando trooper, I can't think of his name right now, Gregor. So, just as a comparison, we kind of get into a whole philosophical thing here between Clone Wars and Rebels, but yeah, Rebels is like Clone Wars 2.0. You know, it's just better.
I think it builds a lot about on top of a lot of great things with Clone Wars, and really does kind of cut out some of the, you know, unwanted or kind of more unnecessary components.
Yeah, I think, you know, the only thing Rebels doesn't do quite as well is the animation. But
really, I think animation on Rebels is actually still really good.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I think it's great. I think it's awesome. It's just the feel and the style is completely different. I thought Clone Wars goes into a little bit more detail, but it's really not necessary. It's just a technical thing with me. And
I actually look at like the artwork for like Rebels, and it seems more fluid than it does like in Clone Wars.
Clone Wars is a little bit more rigid style, but it seemed to me they took, they as far as attention to detail, it was just a little bit more crisp. And I'm only saying that because we went back and we watched, I went back and watched the Yoda arc in Episode 6, and I noticed it. You know, I noticed the difference in the style. But again, it's so minor, you know, you don't even notice it. It's the storytelling is much better. The way they plot out Rebels is 10 times better, in my opinion. So, but and speaking of, you know, of Rebels and the writing, it's, what do you think of? Because Filoni has said this season, if last season was A New Hope for the Rebels, this season is supposed to be Empire. What do you think about that so far?
I mean, there is a greater focus on, like, some of the villains and the introduction of, like, the new Inquisitors and such. So, possibly.
Yeah, I think already, you know, we're seeing them get their butt kicked.
Yeah.
Pretty much. I mean, the B-Wing is a slight victory, I guess. But, I mean, for the most part, they've been on the run. You know, they're running right now, trying to find a base, trying to find, you know, trying
to... Yeah, you definitely see them regrouping and trying to come up with a more offensive strategy.
Yeah, yeah, you know, and they lost another Rebel runner in this episode, so yeah, you know, which I was surprised to see. I thought, oh, okay, they're going to board the mission and they'll run off. No, they actually lose a Rebel runner cruiser, you know, gone. So, but all right, well, we got off on a little bit of a tangent there at the end, but that's okay. Nothing wrong with that. We did a little comparison, a little Clone War Rebel comparison for you. So a little bit of a bonus for your listeners out there tonight. So, Aaron, thanks for joining me today, sir, and going over these two great episodes.
Not a problem.
All right. Great. And so, where can you find 4 Midwest Guys? You can find 4 Midwest Guys on Facebook.com/4MidwestGuys. You can find us on Twitter @4MidwestGuys, or you can reach us email, 4MidwestGuys@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. We'd like to hear from you. We are desperate to get some feedback as to see if you guys like us, if you don't like us, what we're doing right, what we're doing wrong. You know, if you like this Rebels show, if you don't, you know, we've got Gotham Watch. We've got some specials coming up in December. We're going to release a review of the prequel trilogy, a review of the original trilogy, as well as our hopes and dreams for Episode 7, as well as a follow-up, our reactions to Episode 7. So it's a very special four-podcast mini-series, so to speak. We're calling it, Path to Episode 7. So just kind of a look back and a look forward. So be looking for that coming out here soon. And we've got a lot of other things coming down the pike as well. So make sure you join us for that. So for myself, for Aaron, and everybody else out there, Rebels fans, we'll catch you next time. May the Force be with you.